Jacoby Brissett on the afternoon show here yesterday. He expects that he will be the starter. Ty Law is here with us on a Ty Tuesday.
Does that sound like a guy that's going to be a great mentor? I mean it.
He was a little bit curt, I guess, is what you're saying.
I thought the whole purpose of Jacoby was that he was happy-go-lucky, supportive guy.
Yeah.
Wolfpack.
I mean, what is Drake May learning by watching him from the sidelines?
What not to do.
Yeah.
I mean, not much, right?
Yeah, you can look at it as what not to do. I mean, I agree with you, Curtis, but, I mean, to see the game when you don't have to move, I mean, you can mentally compartmentalize whatever you need to while watching the game. You're getting the play calls in first, you know, you're understanding it so you can see it. And sometimes you have to see it before you go out there and actually perform. So I like that they did sit him down and didn't throw him into the fire, but now I think it's time. Because when Tom came in, you're playing behind Drew, you know, well-established, face of the team, all-pro quarterback, and you got to develop. Aaron Rodgers got to develop. Unfortunately, he's not getting to develop in these type of quarterbacks, but a veteran presence. You don't have to be an all-pro and to teach you how to be a pro, but now is the time. I think as far as how you carry himself, Jacoby was a guy. He was a good guy. You can look up to him and say he's been around, he's been to a couple teams, fine. But as far as the play on the field, you probably ain't getting too much from that. You ain't getting too motivated from that standpoint. Right. So it's time
his
for
toughness
him to get
is good. Yeah, exactly. I said that the other day.
There is this argument, 508 texter, I hear this from time to time, that putting Drake May in, you're going to have the same mistakes, you're going to have the same result. So what's the point of doing it?
Well, because experience. You might have it's experience. You probably have the same mistakes. You know, who knows? Maybe Drake is able to, you know, elude the rush better because he's a better athlete and he's able to make a play on the move, an off-schedule play with his legs. But he'll learn, that learning experience is valuable. So right. When that situation comes back up, maybe later on in the game,
it's not a shock to the system.
It's not like, oh my God, what do I do here? It's like, oh, I've seen this before.
Right.
You know what? I rolled out and tried to throw across my body. It didn't work. Now I'm in the same situation. Don't do it again.
And you can never, and I think it's time too as well, because you can never really assimilate what it is, the speed of the game, of an actual game. You can go out there to practice all day. You can get all the reps that you want. You can talk about the preseason. Oh, it was a preseason game and let him play the whole game. It's a different ball game when it comes to the regular season. Yeah. That preseason and that training camp, you getting reps, and it's more mental reps than anything, but the speed of the game changes when you actually start playing for real on Sundays. And so he's going to have to get adjusted to the speed of the game because he's not getting that in practice.
No.
This is Steve. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. The only other alternative I think Hunter Henry had was, and it's probably not his DNA as a receiver, where you can attest to that, is to bat the ball down with Adamo forcing him up to try to take a shot at the end zone.
I don't, I mean, even if he were to bat that ball down, I mean, what were there, 2 seconds?
Yeah, they would have had
about 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah. That much, Sean?
That's the only thing he could have done.
Well, it doesn't matter how much time it would have been. It would have been 1 second to actually have a chance to win it. The second he caught it, the game was over.
Yeah, because when he catches it, there's about 6 seconds on the clock. So if he drops it, then you get one shot at the end. But
I want to go back to quickly, though, Wiggy, because we all talk about how this is on the new team and how dumb they are. Do you remember the Thanksgiving Day game against the Vikings? When they had the ball.
When Mac Jones had a pretty good game.
Yep. No, the last play of the game, they threw it to a Patriot who just fell down.
Yeah.
Correct. Who did nothing. And it was Bill Belichick's team, and it was Josh McDaniels was the coordinator, and it was a dumb thing. So, like, we love to pile on Mayo, but if you look at the end of game when Bailey Zappi replaced Mac in Germany, that final drive, he threw a ball to 3 Colts. So, like, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
I don't blame Bill, and I don't blame Gerard Mayo. I blame the people that are on the field for being dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb situations. I mean, the biggest one that we remember with Bill is putting Rob Gronkowski out there as a defender when the ball's on, like, their own 30-yard line. It's not one of those plays where they're going to throw it up, and it's a jump ball situation where you would use his height. Now you got him where he's actually has to be a tackler out there, and that was one of those things that kind of backfired on him. I think I put this more on blame, and what we were talking about earlier was the play calling. And if you're in that situation, you either go 4 verticals to the end zone, or you do quick outs, maybe to get you another 5 or 6 yards to make the throw the next play closer to the end zone.
Yeah.
You don't have guys running across the field at different levels and one guy who's barely in the end zone. Just that's stupid.
This is Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
So you guys made a comment about how when, you know, obviously when Bledsoe got injured, Tom Brady went in. And so the difference there, I think, you had Bledsoe with a headset on guiding Tom Brady as he went through that first season. So you're going to have Drake May go in, and you're going to have Jacoby being the one trying to guide him with what he's got.
But I will say this. Sometimes people are better at wearing the headset and telling you what to do than actually going out there doing it. Think about all the coaches that you have. Hell, I ain't had NAM coach other than Herman Edwards that was able to go out there and do what I do and play at the level that I played at.
That's the only one?
I mean, Herman Edwards, that was only coach that I've had. You know what I mean? I know I ain't never seen Bill strap up. I ain't seen no old highlights. You know, I ain't seen Parcells. I ain't seen none of them. So a lot of times you can't say just because he didn't play the game, because think about all the coaches out there. Right. Think about all the coordinators.
Right.
Those were the guys that wasn't the players. They looked at the game differently. They can see it. You know, look at it like a Josh McDaniel. Coaches are coaches. I can see Jacoby like a Dan Orlovsky. You know, he was a good player. You made it to the NFL.
Right.
But you wasn't that great player. You see the game a certain way. So you can probably teach the game better than you can play it. So I don't totally agree. I think that he might be a better
teacher,
mentor and teacher to him by talking to him. You know, on the sidelines telling you this is what you need to do, because he has been around long enough and he has been a pro and a quarterback and a starter. He's just not.
He just don't have a skill set.
He's just not those all pros and that household name. But if you stick around in this league long enough, if you play double digit years, you got a chance to start at the quarterback position. You pretty damn good.
Yeah, and he learned, and he obviously was in the room with Brady. And coaches will always tell you, Ty knows this, there are a few coaches that go, they'll say, hey, listen, I don't get to see the game from inside the helmet like you do. Mm-hmm. But here's what I see from where I'm sitting. But I also realize as a coach, you see the game a lot differently, especially when you've never played, right? So as a coach who's never been in that situation, they don't have that experience to lean on and say, oh, here's what you should do, because I was in a similar situation.
And you gotta
but
think,
how
like,
could Jacoby Brissett be in the league as long as he is?
And he's a backup. Nobody's looking at him to be the starter, though, Greg.
Well,
he's not the franchise quarterback.
He started in Indy for a considerable amount of time.
But I'm saying nobody looked at him
as
that.
How can he not read defenses and see who's open? Like,
that's why he's available for 1 year and $8 million when every good quarterback's getting $200
million. Greg, there are many people that are in the NFL that, like Ty says, when they're on the sidelines or they're in practice, it's much easier to do, but when you get in that actual game and you have to consistently do it at a high level, it's totally different.
Take the flip side of it. Let's say the great players that was hellified players, all pro players, Hall of Fame players. How good did they do at coaching? Let's take the great Michael Jordan. How great did he do as owner? It's a different thing whether you being a coach or whether you being a player. I don't know that many great players that became great coaches. I don't know. I'm talking about head coaches. Somebody like Gerard was a great player. Don't get me wrong, but he wasn't. Nobody looked at him like you were Ray Lewis or played that type of longevity, had that type of success.
There's not a coach that I can remember that has a great coach that
besides Deion Sanders. Now
but I don't even know the jury.
What about a certain coach?
He's doing his thing. You know what I mean? So, you know,
all right, I'll give you Dicker. Huh? I'll get you Mike Dicker. Great tight end, and then was a great coach.
That's
in the NFL,
a Baker Stetson for me, Bobby. Right.
So I'll give you Dicker. The jury's still out on Deion, but yeah, I'll give you Dicker all day.
The Bears.
Time for the most entertaining play of the game, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Any suggestion? I have one.
I got one.
I mean, you love the guys playing defense. I enjoyed Keon White trying to shake the hand of Huntley after batting that ball down.
Yeah.
Almost got the handshake. But what, you have one?
Yeah, I mean, I like, hey, Christian Gonzalez, yeah. when he swooped up under there and picked that off right yeah, there. That was a hell of a play. And I think, like I said, this kid has so much upside.
I was going to ask you about that. What you think he's got huge upside?
He got huge upside. He just got to be more consistent, play with, more confidence and swag. Because when you got out there with a guy like a Tyreek Hill and Jaden Walter, they're going to get theirs too. You're going to get beat. You know what I mean? That's just part of the game in NFL. Some of the top corners, like even Pat Surtain Jr., he's gotten beat. You know what right. I mean? Sauce Gardner has gotten beat. But how are you going to respond? But I think that he could be the next one. He could be the next one.
He's done well against some really good wide receivers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, very well. Now, I would like to see him have that type of performance against a great quarterback. So it's one thing about the wide receiver, but then you got Huntley. It's
Huntley stinks.
Yeah, yeah.
He stinks.
Good confidence booster, but he
then this
stinks.
Week will be a good test against
CJ Stroud.
Same way
about Brock Purdy?
Huh?
Sean's right, though. CJ Stroud this week.
No, but see, Brock Purdy, like I said, I love his story, and it's great what he's doing and what he was able to do. And, no one had many expectations. Right. But now, okay, Brock, you're not a surprise no more.
Right. Everybody knows about
you. Everybody know what you know about you now. What you going to do? You know what I mean?
Gonzalez going to have CJ Stroud and Steph Diggs this week. So this will be a good matchup.
No, this is going to exactly.
And so if he can do it again.
This is going to be the games. Like, I wanted to see him with Tua and Tyreek and those guys to see what he would be able to do. But I still think that he's the next great cornerback. If he can stay healthy, the next great Patriot cornerback. I can see that in him.
Mm. Your boy's still doing it.
So you'll be advising him soon on on his next deal?
Yeah, contract time. Holler at your boy.
Yes. I hope you make a cut.
Curtis, did you have something? I thought I heard you say.
Oh, no. Well, I have the video of the end of the game. Mitch has it if you want to watch it. I mean, this is the best situational coach in the history of the NFL. They're down a touchdown with 20 seconds left. There's a throw. Inbounds. They're tackled. So they have a play here. Mac Jones waving his arms. He gets under center. And you got one play left. And here's the play. He throws it right over the middle, and he falls down. Game over. Now wait for the Mac Jones helmet toss. It was my favorite part. It's coming up right here.
Such a
there it is. And there's Bill.
That was just
he threw it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what an idiot.
What a great end of game call.
You guys thought he was going to be good.
I still can't believe you guys would rather him here right now than have Jacoby Brissett.
God.
And it would be far more entertaining.
Would you take Mac Jones right now over Jacoby Brissett?
Hell no.
Yes, thank you.
I would. Give me Mac. I don't even like the island.
Man,
yeah, I don't like nothing about the island.
I'd take Bailey Zappi over Jacoby.
Well, Mac would be so much more entertaining than Jacoby Brissett. It would be equally as bad.
Jared Stidham over Jacoby Brissett.
Ooh, that'd be fun. I'm into that.
Congratulations to Zappi. He's expecting a baby.
Mac is going to give you something to talk about, some sound. But he going to say something or do something.
But at least Mac was good at one point in time.
He goes,
exactly. His rookie year. Jacoby Brissett has never been good as a starter. When he got his opportunity with the Colts, he did nothing with it. So he's never been good as a starter.
Well, why he keep getting opportunities to start?
Because he hasn't. He hasn't had an opportunity to start since Indy. He's been a backup, and then guys get hurt.
But I'm saying, going back to what we were talking about before, the backup thing, you eventually end up being a coach, but he's good enough to keep a job and make $8 million.
Right, but how that goes.
To be a backup.
He's good enough because the guy that, in Cleveland, the offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, when he was there and, he needed to put him in a pinch, he did good enough for him. So he's probably like, hey, listen, let's take this guy because I think he could do it. But he's somebody that comes in for a game or two max.
Right. So I would take a Wildcat quarterback over Jacoby Brissett. I would take...
Bring back Pat White?
I would take...
Julian Edelman?
Ronnie Brown?
I would take Tom Castellanos, even though he sucked the bed the other day. I would take literally anybody. Anybody. Jacoby Brissett seems like a lovely guy. I'd love to sit next to him at Thanksgiving. I don't want him quarterbacking.
And Ty, come on. How many players we've been in the league with? Yeah. You're like, man, how the hell is this dude still in the league?
Yeah, no. We get all that. Yeah, we get all that. You know what I mean? But I think when you hold everybody to a standard of the typical starting quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, he was brought in to be a placeholder. That is a true definition of a placeholder, right? Mm-hmm. The future is the number three pick. So guess what? You got to play him at some point. Let him learn. But Jacoby Brissett is never looked at as anyone's starting or anyone's future in any organization. He is a viable backup
right.
who happens to start. So now is that yeah. time where you go back to your main job, a viable backup.
Right. It's the same way with the Raiders are doing with Gardner Minshew. They tried it.
Right.
It didn't work. Now they go, what's the kid?
Aiden O'Connell.
Aiden O'Connell. That's what you are. You're a placeholder for four, five, right. six games. And then, all right, now we yep. got to figure out who's next.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Ty Law.
Thank you, man.
Great to see you.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Coming up on Wednesday, November 20th. It is the third annual Ty Law 24 Lanes Bowling Event at Apex to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
We have teams available. Bring your shoes, carry your own balls, and join us.
Yes.
And we'll raise some money.
We're going to raise some money.
We have a great night. Ty is pouring Corvus like there's an endless supply.
Yeah, we going to drink. We gonna, y'all got to just let me... I go to every lane and I just let me roll one down there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm give me a couple strikes.
Yeah.
You know, but we're gonna have a good time. It's for a good cause. So sign up now, man. It should be no more sign ups within the next week or so, man.
Right.
We want everybody to sign up, man. So
I'm
go
karting this year for sure.
Yeah,
we should have
a race.
One race, just us right here.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm with that.
Okay.
Oh, a show go-kart race?
Yeah, show go-kart race.
I don't know. I have a tattoo. You ain't first, you're last.
Oh, I tell you what. I ain't coming in dead ass now. Like, I'm going to cut somebody off. I got a rule. I don't care what I'm doing.
Right.
I am not coming
and
in
and it's
last.
A good course, too, with the good go-karts.
Yeah. Oh, yo. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's oh, yeah. And y'all know I got
the helmets.
Yeah.
We got a 24 yeah. cart there now. Shout out to my man George there at Apex. Yeah. But, hey, the Corvus car 24?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's mine now. Okay. Don't y'all sit your ass in my car.
I only have a shot if we do it 2 hours into the night.
hey, don't drink and drive.
The you put a team together of five.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great event. Like, if you want to entertain clients, it's a great event to
yeah,
do that.
Man.
Bring your customers.
And Apex is such a great atmosphere, and too,
right.
just
food,
overall.
Food is great. The bowling's great.
And Ty's really out there with everybody.
Yes, he is.
Like,
yes,
you take the
is.
Time to talk to everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's Jay Leno-like
yes.
when it comes to mingling.
That he is.
Not an yes, ass.
Right. Yes. Greg has the security team, though.
Yes, that's correct. What was I going to say? Oh, speaking of driving things. How was the vehicle that you finally drove away from the Newport show?
Peep that wig.
Man, the 2024 GT Continental Sports Edition starting ticket.
From Bentley.
From Bentley. Starting price, $300,000. Man, let me tell you something. That thing was so smooth. They pulled up in the Rolls-Royce Cullinan, which is the SUV.
Right, right.
That's the one I drove.
And
I drove a different Rolls-Royce.
No, you drove the
Cullinan. Shadow. Oh, he did?
Used the
yeah, it was the SUV. Cullinan.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has the stars on
yeah, yeah.
On
how
the
was
ceiling.
It? How was it?
It was great.
Yeah.
Was
Were you nervous?
Not really. No.
Were you
I'm an excellent driver.
Nervous about what?
Driving.
No, why? I've been driving for 40 years. I don't know how long it's been. I've been driving.
$300,000 car. I'd be
scared. So what? I mean, they got insurance. That's what it's for. It was beautiful, though. And they have this thing because it's a hybrid.
GPS?
No, not GPS. But they have this, like, it can go from the silent mode of a hybrid where you don't hear it or they turn it to a sports mode and you get that roar of the sports car engine.
The Wi-Fi access.
that's a new one right there. I never heard that one. That's sweet.
Yeah,
that's sweet.
Beautiful. And it was like this color green with this gray interior. It had the carbon fiber on it. Oh, man.
Hey, beautiful. I did notice a little something. When you got up in there, you struggled a little bit there, Wiggy.
Yeah, it's slow. I did.
You got in there kind of slow, and I heard
that
little grunt.
You know how them sports cars are. They low to the ground, so my knees and my back ain't the same.
Right.
So things were creaking that shouldn't be creaking?
No, they've been creaking for a long time, Craig.
Hey, I'm with the SUV now. Like, even the sports cars, I used to be really into cars, but I can't do it no more. I want to step up in my truck, man. I don't even want to get into no. I don't even like getting into a car no more.
One ain't that bad, though.
We have audio from the crowd when you were getting into the Bentley GT, if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Okay.
Are you going to die?
All right.
Wiggy's driving a nice car right now, though.
All right, Ty. Great to
see
you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming by.
I'll see you next week.
Every Tuesday on this show. And right now, Courtney and What is Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now. brought to you by Shaw's. The Chiefs beat the Saints in Monday Night Football. 26-13 was the final. Patrick Mahomes completed 28 of 39 passes for 331 yards and an interception. On the other side, Derek Carr went out with an oblique injury. He is set to undergo an MRI today. In an update on Rashi Rice, he needs an LCL repair. He's expected to miss the rest of the season. The Bruins kick off their season tonight in Florida against the Panthers. Puck drop is at 7. Jeremy Swayman has signed on the dotted line with the Bruins, but he did miss all of training camp, so fans weren't expecting to see him in goal for tonight. But Jim Montgomery, talked to reporters yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know. He's a potential goalie tomorrow night.
Undecided. We're undecided.
Today, only stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is sensational ready meal salads for $6.99 each. That's right. Ready meal salads are $6.99 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently 52 degrees, sunny skies in Boston, afternoon high of 63.
Well, that reminds me, Sean, congratulations are in order for Mr. and Mrs. Wiggins.
Yes.
On the engagement
wow.
of their daughter.
Man.
Which occurred over the weekend.
Right?
Last weekend.
Last weekend.
Oh, I got all excited. I thought James was going to have a playmate.
No, and, you know, it's a great time, but a sad time for me as a father. He's a hell of a guy. That's always the one thing you look for. Uh-huh. And, you know.
Did you scare him when the first time he asked her out?
No.
Were you standing there at the door when he came to pick her up?
No, I mean, you know,
Did he have to talk with you first?
Yes, he did have to talk. I will, you know.
Did he talk with you first before the proposal?
He had been talking to my wife about it more than me, but
Talina told me that he asked for your permission, though.
Yes, he came. We sat down. We went to lunch, and then he asked me about it.
Did you ask to see his dowry?
I don't even know what a dowry is.
Ten cows and a cart of milk.
No. And so he's a great guy. I'm super excited about it.
Gorgeous proposal.
Yes, I am a little sad because I still see my daughter as like the 10-year-old girl. I don't know how.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Julia.
Yeah, so it's kind of like weird.
Yeah.
But yes.
It makes you feel old is what it
is. No, it don't even make me feel old.
Well, you are. I mean, let's just be honest.
I am really not because I am young, and I believe I'm probably 12 years old. I would say, let me rephrase that. I'm more like 16.
Yeah.
So
I will say, and I mentioned this earlier, but it's a good time to talk about it now because we got caught up with Ty Law. And I call these kinds of things Wiggy, not like the rest of us.
Yes.
You went off for 10 minutes with Courtney and I yesterday. About how you, as the father of the bride, should not be required to pay for the wedding.
No, because I know how my wife is, and I know how my daughter is. So they're like, you know, wedding of the century, and I'm trying to figure out any angle. I don't understand that. Like,
because well, you're giving her away.
Yeah, but that I feel like that's the like
that is so archaic.
No, it's not archaic.
Giving her away. You don't own your daughter.
Oh, you're saying Courtney giving her away.
I'm not saying that philosophy.
No, like you as the dad.
Yeah, I feel like she as the beautiful like connection and they're making like boom, my daughter is now your fiance, soon to be wife.
Oh, you're like, my daughter is now your responsibility. Right. You pay for the wedding.
Well, a lot of dads pay for the wedding when my wife and I got married. A lot of dads make that joke when they're like, well, now she's, you know, your responsibility and whatever. I think that that's kind of like a lame thing to do on a wedding day. But it's just give them a price. And then if they go over, then it's up to them to make up for that part.
You've met my daughter.
Yes.
And you've...
She's gorgeous.
And you met my wife.
Yes. Also gorgeous.
And my wife is like...
Great taste.
So she wants this to be wedding of the century.
Okay, but if you're not going to pay for it, who would you expect to pay for it?
Maura Healey?
Her lovely fiance. The way I pay for my wedding.
I know. He makes bank.
Huh? You are an NFL player.
But even if you're not, like a regular guy out there, you know, doesn't have to be an NFL player, but you know, a guy who's looking at it as the father saying, all right, my daughter, I'm obviously going to, I know it's Curtis's Bob, thinks it's barbaric, but, you know, like walking her down the aisle, time to give her away.
Right.
And it's like, all right, well, you know.
I would just say, Wiggy, I said this to you yesterday. It's short-sighted because you have two boys.
Yes.
And one girl.
Yeah.
So you're looking at losing out here. The way the current construct is actually beneficial for you.
He's thinking, he's suggesting that the tradition, which has survived all kinds of ridiculous traditions going away, should be changed to the couple that is getting married pays for it. You're saying the guy. But, I mean,
couple,
that
however you want
to
do it.
That doesn't seem right to me either.
Well, the couple, like
however. Because the couple's not established yet. Like, you've had many more years than them to establish yourself and to
Well, they also
to
got
build
many more responsibilities than that. So
yeah,
now,
and listen, I know what people are going to say. I'm a spoiled brat. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I was very lucky and fortunate that my parents paid for our wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And Santo's parents paid like the night before and a bunch of other things, and so we were very lucky. But just if you don't want to spend too much, then give them a budget.
But that's hard to do when it's your
daughter.
Well,
you can't have it both ways.
Right, but that's
the thing. You're either going to let her do whatever she wants or you're going to set the budget.
And that's the thing. As the father of the bride, you have been put in a situation where you're backed in the corner, like, because you can't.
I can't wait for all the reads Wiggy starts.
Believe
because
me.
It's going to be like when Dino built a house and it was like a year and a half.
And Greg, right,
they're going to get married. They're going to be married at the beautiful, picturesque Awaken 180 location.
And Greg, you said it's tradition. Right, you transition medical weight loss.
Transition medical weight loss.
And you haven't lived until you got married at Shaw's. Let me tell you.
Listen, Ernie Bach's got a great place. Ernie, I don't know when this weekend comes up. Maybe you're out of town.
Well, a 508 texter says that your wife's hall pass should pay for it.
Oh
yeah, that's maybe, you, right, maybe, Greg?
Well, you have your own wedding to plan.
Maybe I would.
But you talk
Talina
about
Talina also brings in a lot of cash.
Right.
So,
but Greg, you talk about the tradition. Isn't it usually tradition that people are supposed to give the father and the family of the bride all types of gifts?
That's what a dowry is.
That's the dowry.
Oh, is that what the dowry is?
Well, in the old days, the father would approve based on what the woman's family could offer to them. Like, Shine brought up 10 cows.
Right.
Like, somebody might have...
So her fiancé's family's got to come to me and saying, yes, here's what we will give you.
Yeah, it used to work the other way around, where it was the... I guess it was the... You're right. It was the...
The men's family would come with cows and goats and rugs and such.
Right, in order... Yeah, this... Oh. You want it... Yes.
Great
right,
point.
So they should come to me with a whole bunch of gifts that, you know, I could be like, all right.
Great point in the Twitch. God forbid she wants a destination wedding and Wiggy's going to have to pay for all the guests to go.
I've already said, listen.
Oh, that would be unbelievable.
I've already said, if you don't talk to them consistently on text a couple times a month, they're not invited.
But does she know where she, do they want to get married here? Do they want to get married elsewhere?
I don't know. See, that's the thing.
See, if it's elsewhere, you made a big stink.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to pay for everybody to travel.
And it was great, Greg, because we were able to be on a trolley with Talina and Wiggy and Courtney and her mom. And I'm talking to Wiggy about it. And he's like, so we're going to keep it to only people you text. We're going to do this. We're going to keep this. And Talina's like, it is the greatest day of my life. And she was so excited and glowing.
She is drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, she's one of those mothers who was like, you know how they have those shows, Bridezilla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to be the mother, like they should have Motherzilla.
Yeah, there's a movie. J-Lo's in it.
Oh, she's going to want this.
Wiggy's got a podcast. Say no to the dress.
Wait till the invitation arrives and it says ceremony to follow at Meridian Market.
Who is the great old lady chef, Mama?
Mama Bula.
Mama Bula.
Food is brought to you by Sons of Sicily. Location sponsored by Ernie Bach Jr.
You haven't lived until you go to Spinelli's.
The Car Salon, beautiful location.
Oh, that'd be a good spot for it.
That would be.
But his house on the vineyard?
Oh.
Very nice. On the water.
I know, you already worked for free there.
Giant area, like nice greenery.
Yeah. I wonder if Ernie would make you work the wedding like he made you work the barbecue when we were there.
I don't mind working it. Save a couple bucks.
Do you think you will be an emotional father giving her away? Like father of the bride's speech at the reception?
Yeah, I don't. Courtney, you know what's crazy? How'd your dad do it? Because I don't. I told you, I see her as the 10-year-old girl, and it's like, I still don't know how to.
He started getting emotional in the beginning, and then he really reeled it in. Like, I was surprised. My dad cries at the drop of a hat, so surprised that he was able.
See, I'm not a crier.
But that's usually, it's the the not criers that usually are overcome.
The walk down the aisle.
Oh, Wiggy, you'll be emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, walking down the aisle.
Is Johnny Bart going to be the justice of the peace?
Yeah, Johnny Bart will be there.
All right.
It has dropped. It has dropped 50 millibars in 10 hours. I apologize. This is just...
It's okay, Wiggy.
Yeah.
It's okay. Everybody horrific. Gets emotional.
I'll be like LB at the wedding.
Saying goodbye.
just saying goodbye. It's weird because, like I said, as a dad, you're like, oh, man, wait a second. That's my 10-year. I know she's 27. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, you'll be emotional.
Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
Are you gonna do the father daughter dance?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I will do that. You know, she's kind of like me, where like it's weird, like we're shy people to like people we kind of really don't know. Yeah. So she's kind of like me.
Did you meet the family? Have you met the parents?
No.
Like the film.
No. I think that's a little different nowadays.
Can you milk me?
I think that's a little different because they're like, sometimes one family's in one part of the country. So the family meeting thing, and then if you don't know the family like that, it's like, when do you really meet the family?
Probably before the wedding, like her shower.
Right. So it's not like you go, oh, I know they've been going together. We know the family. Like, so I didn't. Don't know his dad. I think his mother's still in Haiti. Mm-hmm. So I probably meet the, I think it's his dad and his stepmom and his brother that's here. So,
I'm
you know.
Saying goodbye.
Yes. Yeah, so. Yeah, so. Well,
I can see this becoming an issue with Wiggy and Courtney because I'm sure Courtney is going to give great ideas to Talina.
Oh, God. Please
and
don't.
And Wiggy's going to lose please his don't. Mind.
I have a great please. Makeup artist.
Yeah, please don't.
Hair.
Please don't.
Could we invite. Do a contest, invite a couple winners
no.
to the wedding.
Jeez. It depends on how much is the station given.
Okay.
So if they are donating.
So if I got a sponsor.
Yes.
For the wedding.
Yep.
Then I could invite some listeners. Or a couple.
Clear like, this with your daughter first.
We could have a couple.
No. I first clear it with my wife. My daughter, it's like, listen, I'm paying for the wedding. So, right? If I'm paying for the wedding, don't I have some type of say? Don't I have final say? Am I not like Elliot Wolf?
Yes. Wait, is that Neil? Why is he here?
That's it.
This is... No, I would invite Derek the Steelers fan as the winner.
TC. It would have to be TC. Well, he loves Wiggy.
We know one person that won't be a winner, and it begins with Pebbles.
No, she won't be there.
This is Andy from the Cape. What's up, Andy?
Hey, I just want to take Wiggy's side here. Wiggy, my daughter got married a couple of years ago, and I did what Courtney said. I gave her a budget, which, frankly, I thought was very generous.
How much?
After they picked... I was in the 50 zip code.
50 grand.
And the venue came back and it was really high, like almost the entire budget. And I said, well, that's going to be tough. That night, my wife pulled me inside. Is this how you want to be remembered by your daughter? Oh. And I just put my tail between my legs. And you know what? It was almost two. It was probably $125 when they were done.
Oh God!
And see that, and like,
and you know, and Wiggy, yeah. You are right. You're in a no-win situation, bro.
Right.
You can put a big budget out, and then when they get the band, the caterer, the flowers, the dress, all these friends that they're never going to see again,
right?
It's just cha-ching all the way up.
My wife was talking about like. Doves and all types of stuff.
So doves, wow, gorgeous.
When doves cry, rejoin.
Yes.
That's gorgeous.
I'm going to be crying at the wedding. So that's what I mean.
The Wiggy cries before the wedding.
Well, that's why, Courtney,
the best dove video is when they release them near the highway and then the trucks hit them in front of
everybody. God.
Arrested Development reference, the dead dove.
Have you seen that video?
No.
Oh, you haven't? You have to watch it. They're doing a dramatic religious ceremony releasing these doves, and they do it near the highway, and they get hit by trucks and cars.
I'm just looking at all of Twitter, telling people what to do with their money.
It's like, well, listen, I know a guy. We can wrangle up a couple pigeons and spray paint them white or something like that. But I know...
You're a big music guy. That's going to be where you're going to find your budget is really...
Oh, what, as a performer?
Well, no, like a DJ band, whatever you do.
A DJ, like, I feel like I know a million DJs.
Greg?
Oh, Greg! Yes,
right.
Well, it'd be just like the Horseshoe Pub.
Yeah.
When I used to DJ every Friday, Saturday night at the Horseshoe Pub in Hudson.
Of course, who could forget?
I used to bring in a huge crowd, Curtis.
what was your closing song?
Oh, closing time.
No.
Stairway.
I would always play. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. was my go-to.
And don't you give them a playlist? I like the DJ, anyways.
We had a band. I gave them like a do not playlist.
Oh, right. I see.
Dave Matthews.
This is where I would ask your dad because I know this is what's going to happen with my wife and my daughter. It's just like the caller said. Even if we set a budget, it's going to be like. Oh, but this is, she only gets one wedding and it's, you know, and then it's like you back me into a corner. So it's not like I don't, you know, feel like I got to do whatever it takes.
I know she likes fashion too.
When you get the invite, it will ask you to select your entree and the choice will either be Saugus wings or boneless spare ribs at the Kowloon.
Chinese! Chinese, kid.
Wouldn't that be a great wedding, though? Yeah. People would love Kowloon. A Chinese food
buffet. They would love it.
Buffet.
Yes, they would.
Kowloon has done a wedding.
Huh?
Kowloon's done weddings.
Yes. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hypocrisy, thy name is Jermaine Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
During the break, he says, well, I'm just going to do it. Hopefully Ernie will let me do it at his vineyard house. And I said, you hate destination weddings. You told Courtney you hate destination weddings.
Well, it's not.
So now you're going to make everybody go to your daughter's wedding as a destination and spend a fortune staying overnight. You said you couldn't stand when people did that.
Well, it's not destination. It's in Massachusetts.
No.
It doesn't matter. You still have to stay overnight if it's on the vineyard. How are people going to get there?
They just come up in the daytime.
So you're going to have to pay for all their ferry tickets.
I'm up in the daytime.
Would you have to pay for people's gas to drive to somewhere?
Do people drive to weddings and say, hey, pay for my gas?
No, but if you have to take another mode of transportation, which you have to get on a boat to get to the vineyard, that is considered a destination.
All right, so here's what I'll do. I'll work out a deal to get a couple ferries leaving.
Voucher. Ferry voucher.
Yeah, you know, so first ferry leaves at this time, second ferry leaves at that time. It's on me.
Okay, there and back.
Yeah, there and back.
No, and so, and if people want to stay overnight, then
it's on them.
Okay.
You are going to far exceed any kind of budget. What do you think? What's your budget going to be? What do you think it is right now?
It doesn't matter what I think. Ultimately, it's what my wife and my daughter think.
Okay, but what's your guess, if you had to guess?
I was liking what the guy said, 50 grand.
I cannot wait for you to sit down with a florist. You are going to pass out.
There's no way.
I have a good florist in Mass, though, if you need one.
Here is Joe from Rhode Island. Hello, Joe.
Good morning. That guy that just called, $125,000. I got news for him. 9 out of 10 chances, but your daughter's going to be divorced in 2 years. It goes $125,000. I'm telling you that right now. And Wiggy, I hope your daughter lasts for a very long, long time like you and your wife. It looks like you guys got a beautiful marriage. But for you, I don't feel bad for you. You're an former NFL player. Open up the wall and give the lady the money. Just spend all that money on that daughter. Let's go.
Yeah. Get the crowbar out. We're going to pry that thing open and spend away.
What people don't realize, I played in the NFL. My last year in the NFL was like 2007. How long ago was that?
Yes. That money is long gone.
That money is long gone. That money, who the hell knows? That money's somewhere in the cloud.
I think it's more like at Magic City, but whatever.
That money's long gone.
I can't wait for this planning process.
Yeah. Because that's why I said I know my wife and my daughter, and I know my wife more than anything, and she loves these moments, like whether it was birthday parties and everything. She's already talking about stuff, so it's kind of
wedding dress.
You know who does a nice wedding? Stats in South Asia.
Yeah, that's my people. We talking.
Yeah, I got to tell you, even Stats in South Asia is over 50K.
Yeah.
Steak tips are like 42 bucks now.
Yeah. Courtney told me that off the air was like some places charge $250 a plate.
It is insane. Yeah,
what that, the hell not, is
no,
that
that's
for?
What it costs. Yeah.
Like it's, and that's just the plate.
That's a lot.
Open bar is what really will. Yeah.
Well, it'll be sponsored by Corvus.
Yeah, can't do that. They won't let you bring the booze in. I hate to break it to you, but good luck. All right. We got, before we go, if you are caller number 9 on the contest line right now, then you will win a 4-pack of tickets to go to Witch's Woods at Neshoba Valley and get scared just in time for Halloween. This is Wiggy's favorite season of the year.
So fun.
And Witch's Woods is awesome. They have 6 scary attractions that you can partake in when you go to Witch's Woods. Great place to bring the kids. Great place for a bunch of you and your friends to go Friday, Saturday night. It's awesome.
It's the best.
I love that place.
Good food.
It's the food at the Outlook restaurant is great. You will love it.
Oh, we have sad news to report before the end of the show.
No.
Okay.
The great and generous and kind, one-of-a-kind personality, Louis Tiant, passed away at the age of 83.
I will tell you, we talked about this with Pete Rose. It is an absolute disgusting shame that Louis Tiant is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame and should have been
right
before he passed away. That is so sad, Curtis.
Such a generous and nice guy. I was able to because there Pam and other great people, the Red Sox, around the Jimmy Fund kids, and nobody was nicer than Louis Tiant in the times I got to see him when nobody else would have known he was there. Incredibly generous with his time.
Generous to a T. Used to go all the time and participate in the Foundation Celebrity Golf Tournament. He has an extraordinary family. Son Danny. Just unbelievable family, and that is really, really sad news about Louis Tiant. All right. Well, I think most Red Sox fans would agree with me that he should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's a shame that he is not.
Rest in peace.
Yes. All right. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6. Jones and Keefe next. Thank you for your patronage.